The problem is everybody laughs except Adrian. So that's the thing. She just doesn't appreciate my humor. So everybody else thinks they're funny, but anyway, whatever. You know, it's an acquired. I'm an acquired taste. That's right. I'm an acquired taste. There we go. It's all right. Oh, what's their old Red Green show? The guy from Canada. If they don't find you handsome, they'll find you handy, right? I mean, they're like, I serve a purpose somewhere. All right. So, all right, whatever. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, for some people, and there's some people not here tonight that have been asking about, tonight I want to talk about why speak in tongues, talk about a biblical study on, it's been so long since I've talked about this subject that I think it's good to revisit. I am not going to get through all of it tonight, so just, you know, don't worry about it, and then I'll try to recap some things next week. But this is very important biblical study. And as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, and the Apostle Paul here is talking to the church at Corinth, but I think it's interesting because, you know, Adrian's at an event last night, and the minister that got up and was talking about, you know, all of you need to receive the Holy Spirit, but he wouldn't say tongues. The term tongues wasn't going to be talked about. And, you know, and I've heard people say, well, you believe that tongue stuff and that tongue stuff. And it's like, well, it's not tongue stuff, first of all. It's a person, the Holy Spirit. It's a byproduct of the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible's very clear that we are receiving a person. And there are three parts of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit. Each one are perfect, each one are holy, and of course righteous, and they're honored as part of the God, part of the Trinity. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, there are byproducts of the Holy Spirit, right? But in 1 Corinthians, we'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, and it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God." So we know that when we speak in tongues, we are speaking to God, isn't it? I remember Brother Hagin is like probably one of the most gifted people, Kenneth Hagin, in regards to the Spirit-filled life. And I've said this before, but I was in Denver, Colorado one time, and I had Marilyn Hickey come up to me, and we got in a conversation, got my picture and everything, and she had just come out with a book on the authority of the believer, right? And we had just come out with an anniversary edition of Brother Hagin's book on authority. And she came up to me and said, "Can I?" Because at the trade shows, you know, sometimes we give books away. And she said, "Is there any way that I can get a copy of Brother Hagin's book?" And I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Didn't you just come out with a book?" "Yeah, I did. But I want to give his book to a friend of mine." So she was interested in taking his book and giving it to a friend of hers. And I said, "I'll tell you what, under one condition, I get a copy of your book signed, and I'll give you a copy of our book. How's that sound?" And I got a picture. So we talked. She's a really sweet lady. Marilyn Hickey was great. But it just, and I would say him and of course, my pastor, when Adrian and I first got married, are probably, you know, they're being under people that have so much understanding on the subject is amazing because it's, you know, and then of course that rubs off on you, you know, when you begin to see those things. It's like you just get people baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it just was very easy to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, when I grew up, I say this, a little, you know, some stories here, but it was basically like we were like tongue-talking Baptists. I don't have anything against Baptists or anything, but that's just descriptive of what we were when I was growing up. It was like we were Baptist church, but we believed in allowing the Holy Spirit to move. Didn't really understand anything back then. And, you know, the Bible talks about people perish for lack of knowledge. When you don't understand things, that's when you get in trouble, right? And you don't know what you don't know. You know, that sounds very profound, but it is true. You know, you just don't have any idea what you don't know. And, but the Apostle Paul here says, I speak in an unknown tongue, Whoever speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. So it's a language that is, and I want to say a language, but it's a dialect, it's a communication that is unto God. And then he goes on, he says, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. You are speaking mysteries. Well, guess who else doesn't understand that? The devil. The devil hears everything you say. He's the principality of the air. But there's something he can't get a handle on, and that's tongues. Because there is something that we are not speaking unto men, but we're speaking what? Unto God. Now, I realize there's different functions of tongues. Okay, we're not talking about, tongues and interpretation, and then, when you're speaking something out like on the day of Pentecost when, they heard everybody speak in their own language. There are different facets of tongues, and, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about all of those. We're not going to get into all of them tonight, but we're going to talk about as a believer, okay? Every believer has the opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of praying in tongues. That's one thing when I was ordained through Rhema, and I completely agree with it, and we're going to see tonight too, is the thing that I stand on and I will not waver is that the evidence, that means the proof that you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is if you speak in tongues. And we'll see scripture after scripture tonight. I don't know if we'll get to all of them. We're not going to probably get to them all tonight. But we're going to talk about scriptures, about what happened on those and what scripturally happened. So and then we skip down to verse 14, and it says, If I pray in an unknown tongue, what? My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So did you realize when you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying? Right? And again, some people will say, well, that's of the devil. Well, of course, first of all, there's nowhere in Scripture where it shows anybody spoke in tongues was possessed by a devil. All right? And Jesus commanded us to. We're going to talk about more scriptures here in a minute. But what we are seeing here is that your spirit prays. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't want your spirit to pray. All right? When you're born again and you are connected with the Holy Spirit and you're saved, and that's one aspect of there's two different, more than two different experiences, but the two main experiences are, number one, when you're born again, that is when you accept Christ in your life and you are now born again. You're a new creature. Like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things have passed away, all things become new. So what that means is you're born again, you now have the nature of God living on the inside of you. Okay, that's one experience. Another experience is what we're talking about tonight is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving a person, the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do have a portion of the Holy Spirit when you're born again. We see that, but there is a Acts 2, an infilling experience where the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And there's a specific purpose for that. There's two different functions. When you're born again, that means your spirit man is completely brand new. It's regenerated, all right? And then, of course, you die, you're going to go to heaven, right? So, and that means you're obviously a believer. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something where the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and there's a different experience for that. And Jesus commanded his disciples to, and us, if we consider ourselves disciples or followers of Christ, to follow in the same footsteps. And then verse 18, I love this. It says, this is Apostle Paul speaking. It says, I thank my God I speak in tongues, what? More than you all. So we know right here the Apostle Paul says, I do this all the time, in fact, more than all of you. Why? Because the Apostle Paul, we're not even going to touch on it tonight, but there are many dynamic benefits for speaking in tongues. So again, I believe many people in churches place very little emphasis on the subject, but everything, now remember, everything in God's word is calculated, specific, and has a purpose. God doesn't just fill these things with ramblings, right? And you'll see people that they'll scoot around certain, portions in the book of Acts. So they'll scoot around things. Now, if it's in there for a reason. God's not just throwing things in there and then, oh, I don't really mean this for now. I don't mean this for now, right? No, God is very purposeful and he's very calculated and precise with the way he states things in the word, the way that it is and what's in there. God doesn't just flippantly say things. There's, old commercial in the 80s. It was like, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Remember that? Now you're old school if you remember that, right? Some of the people are looking at me like, but anyway, There's just these commercials, these people are just walking, they say, we need a fucking talk, and then everybody would just freeze. People listen. So it was like an investment broker. But anyway, it's an old commercial. But that's with God. You know, when he does say things, things happen, right? I mean, you know, planets are created, or you know, or you know, the world was created. God is, there's power released when he speaks the word. And obviously, this is his word too. This is what he has given us, which is very valuable. And, you know, we see there in, well, let's just turn to John real quick. I may go all over every place. We may never get to where we're going tonight, but that's okay. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What was the Word? Jesus. Jesus is the Word, right? Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So what does that mean? Everything Jesus says, it comes from the mouth of God. Jesus said, I don't do or say anything unless the Father tells me to. Well, what did Jesus say? Find out here in just a minute. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. I mean, as believers, we should just be hitting the ground running and taking everything God has to say, and just saying, this is for me. These are truths. I'm gonna. You know, there's just some things like Adrian and I were talking the other night. You know, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, not that I felt like I was all this air, but you grow and develop on things, right? You know, how many of you think? I mean, you know more today than you did 10 years ago. I mean, I hope so, right? You learn things. You're I look back and even though, I mean, I don't think that it was necessarily a big heretic in the Bible, but the point is, you see things in the Word and you're like, or you see things and you're thinking, I see that differently now, or you know, I see that in a new light. God reveals things to you. It should be an ongoing process for us, right? And so, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. And we'll start in verse 15, and it says, and he said, and this is Jesus talking here at the end. He's given some instructions, right? This is when he's heading out to be with the Father. And he says in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now he's listing off this litmus test, right? And we can say, I always like to say this, when we start talking about things like, for example, salvation, or we're talking about, you know, Jesus is Lord, you know, a lot of Christians are like, yeah, we're on board. Then you say, you know, you got to be born again. Yeah, you're going to lose a few people in that. And then as you narrow down healing, you're like, ew. Right? Then you start losing people. Then you get, you know, filled with the Spirit. And it's like, oh, you lose a lot more people there. And when you get into tongues, then you lose a lot of people, right? You know, the crazy thing is, when I was in Africa, often there's a lot of people over there. There's more higher percentage of people speaking in tongues than there are in the United States. Yeah. Internationally, they just receive it. Right? You need it over there. Well, you need it over here too. Right? I'm just, you know, their devils are more out in the open, and I saw them manifest and talk to me and all kinds of other stuff and whatever. Here, they're medicated. Right? We're all on medication, so you know, often we hide behind junk. Over there, it's just right in your face. You can say amen on that, or oh, me or mine. And it says, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, great. Born again, great. We need to be born again. If you don't believe, you're damned. Okay, we're on board, great. We're going to go tell people about Jesus. Woo, great. Okay, we're on board. Here we go. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Uh-oh, signs. In my name you shall cast out devils. Oh, that's great. Yay, I got all this authority. Here we go, the next one. And they shall speak with new tongues. Whoa. You know, that's right in there with salvation. That's how important Jesus thought it was, right? It was important. It was right up there with, you know, spreading the gospel. It was right up there with being saved, right? It was right up there with casting out devils, right? Verse 18, You shall take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to go drink Drano and see if God's going to deliver us, right? Don't do that. Or those clowns that are eating Tide Pods. Was that going around?
I know.
Those weirdos eating Tide Pods. Please don't do that. I don't want to come to the hospital and pray for you, okay? It's like, first thing I'm going to pray for gray matter to manifest between your ears, right? We need gray matter. We need to grow a brain, right? Straw man laying there. But no, I'm just kidding. But it's just if something does happen, right? The Apostle Paul, what happened? When he had a serpent bit him, and he shook it off in the fire, and he was fine. I mean, you know, the Apostle Paul was not playing with snakes and, you know, all this other junk. No, he wasn't tempting God. The point is, he was doing what he was supposed to do, pulled out some wood that clamped onto him, shook it off in the fire, and away he went, right? Because we're not, God's like, okay, we're not just doing dumb things, okay? We realize that. But if it does happen, that's what it says here. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And here we go. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and what? They shall recover. These are all together. Now, many Christians, they want to pick and choose, right? It's like they're going to Burger King. Ooh, my way right away, right? I'm no pickles and this and I'll add onions and that and blah, blah, blah. And I'll take cheese and no cheese here and blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. God doesn't lay it and go, oh, choose what you want to do. It's kind of a buffet. If you feel like today, if you feel like it not, no, it's all just kind of in there together. And one of them is speaking with tongues, right? Speaking in new languages. These are all supernatural, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Right? Can you heal anybody? No. If you drink any deadly thing, can you just bounce back from it on your own? No. You're going to need some help, aren't you? Can you save yourself without faith? No. All of these things are supernatural acts that Jesus put out there that we cannot do on ourselves. Can you cast out the devil? No. Sometimes I feel like a paddle, right? And go, right, I'm going to beat it out of you again. But we can't cast out devils, can we? It's by the power and the name of Jesus, the only way we can do this stuff. And so there's, and here we go. Everybody, and there are people who say, well, you know, and they dig out some scriptures in Romans and some other places where they're trying to say that this all passed away. It didn't pass away, okay? Jesus didn't come out here and say, these have expiration dates and these don't. There are no expiration dates on any of this stuff. The only thing at expiration date is when we are standing face to face with Jesus, we don't need any of this. I don't need to be healed because I'm in heaven, right? I don't need to speak in tongues because I'm right in front of him. I don't need to cast out devils because there's no devils in heaven. You understand what I'm saying? The expiration date is when you expire, or you and the Lord say, I'm done on this. My assignment's done. I've run a good race. I'm checking out. See ya. Then you don't need this stuff anymore because there's no need for healing. People are like, well, they died because they needed healing. Well, why do they need to go to heaven to be healed? Right? There's no sickness in heaven. So I don't need, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Plus, you know, you're going to eventually have a glorified body. I mean, your body's here. Why do you need healing? The thing that was sick is still on the earth, and you leave. So nothing makes sense. But the point is this, that, again, many people, I believe, don't speak in tongues because of just often no teaching. Often there's fear, ignorance, just things that people don't understand about it, right? Because Jesus specifically said it in the New Testament. He said it there in John chapter 14, John chapter 16, commanded that the Holy Spirit, which we'll get to here in a minute, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to leave, but my Father is going to send a comforter in my name. He's going to send a comforter. And there are byproducts of the Holy Spirit, right? There are things when God, in the Old Testament, God showed up, they're just things that happen, right? When God shows up, mountains start melting, right? Because the whole thing is like, this earth cannot handle his glory. It just can't handle it. Something's got to happen when God shows up. And devils have to go screaming in terror, right? I mean, when God shows up, I mean, healing happens. They're just byproducts, reactions to when the glory of God shows up, and that's where the Holy Spirit is. When the Holy Spirit shows up, there are things that react. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Am I boring you tonight? Are you sure? All right. So again, many people ask why we talk about it so much, and some. it's because often other people bring it up, right? You know, well, what about that tongue stuff? Well, right there, I know you don't know what you're talking about. When you say the tongue stuff, what about that tongue stuff, right? Again, we're filled with a person. The Holy, a person comes upon us. It's not tongues. Oh, you were speaking that tongue stuff or that Holy Ghost stuff? I'm sorry, but that's part of the Godhead. I was listening to somebody, and they were kind of like talking about, well, I don't believe that Holy Ghost stuff, and they claim to be a Christian. I'm like, it's part of the Godhead. Hello? There's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? I don't understand what part we don't understand. You know, it's just mind-boggling. It's like the Holy Spirit is part of God. They are three in one. It's part of the Trinity. It's not the Holy Ghost stuff. No. It's like Jesus, well, that Jesus stuff, but I'm a Christian. No. Or that God stuff. It's like, if he's not your Father, then, again, it's a disconnect, I think, with some people. But anyway, so when we're filled with the Spirit, it's not filled with, it's the, we are filled with the Spirit, which is the person, the Holy Spirit, and there are byproducts, and one of the byproducts is speaking in tongues, like we just talked about there and read in Mark chapter 16. I want to read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, and this is what I'm talking about. You got to understand, though, there are, in our world, there are action and reaction. Remember back to science class? Put your goggles on, right? Your little science goggles on, your little test tubes, and your little lab coats, you're like, I'm going to do something today. I'm going to do an experiment. It was always so cool. Like when history class, you come in and movie projector set up, you're like, yes, you know, or, you know, you go to science class and they got all the test tubes set up and you're like, yes, I get to mess with stuff today. You know, it was just like, yes. Well, there's an action reaction. What it is this, the devil, when he shows up on the scene, there are certain reactions. When the Holy Spirit of God shows up, there are other reactions. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So what it means is, when the devil shows up, these are the byproducts of Satan and the devil and his crowd in the world system, right? Number one, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, right? Witchcraft is not about just, it's not just, ooh, I'm going to do this. Witchcraft is about controlling people. Right? It doesn't mean you put on a head and cape and you go be creepy or anything. What it means is you are manipulating people. Yeah. I mean, you can do it through just manipulative language. You're just trying to control people, right? You have people before, you know, trying to manipulate people. Well, just go ahead. I'll just die here. Right? Yeah. Just go ahead. Nobody likes me. Just go ahead. Leave. That's manipulation, isn't it? And there's also people that begin, you know, casting spells to control people. So witchcraft is all just about controlling people. Is that God? No. Right? We see in Deuteronomy, choose this day whom you'll serve. God's like, you have a decision. The devil's always trying to manipulate and control people. And God's like, God's always coming and saying, hey, it's your choice. You make the decision. I'm not going to force people to do anything. Then it goes on, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders. This list is not very cheery, is it? No, drunkenness, revelings, and like the such, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're in the act of doing these sins, you know, you can say, hey, Jesus, help me out all day long, but you got to repent at some point, right? I'm just telling you. So when the devil shows up, these are the acts, the byproducts, the manifestations of the devil, right? Now, look at the Holy Spirit. So I like to say in verse 22, these are the Apostle Paul says, the fruits of the Holy, fruits of the Spirit, which are the Holy Spirit, they are the byproducts of the Holy Spirit. That means when the Holy Spirit shows up and he is in manifestation, these things are kept. Now I like to say it this way. These are the byproducts of being born again. Right? We're going to look at the byproducts of being filled with the Spirit. There's two different things. This is the byproducts of having a born-again experience, right? That means your nature's changed on the inside. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creature. These are the byproducts. This is what should come out of you. Number one, love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Or I like other translations says faithfulness. What does that mean? You're faithful to people, right? You don't lie to them. You're faithful. You're committed to people. Meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. There's no boundary. There's no limit on these things. So what it means is these are the nature of the Holy Spirit, which we could say in the nature of Jesus, the nature of God. They're all the same, right? So these things are the byproduct or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into some reasons for speaking in tongues because God just didn't throw this in the Bible and said, okay, toss it there at the end of the Mark. He commanded his disciples in Mark chapter 16. You need to do all these things. And then, okay, see ya. But we're going to see how the apostles dealt with it, how it manifests. So first of all, we see that Paul dedicates an entire chapter. And of course, there's other places we see in the book of Acts. We'll look over here too. But Acts chapter 14 and part of 13 and part of 15, but we see primarily chapter 14 that he dedicates to talking about tongues, all different functions of tongues, right? Private, public, right? All kinds of different manifestations of tongues he goes through. And, you know, I think sometimes we just lump things together too many times, like prayer. You know, in the world, it's always like, you know, people like, well, would you just, you know, on Facebook or something, people message me or something, or I've talked to people before, whatever, or they'll make statements like, will you pray for me? About what? Right? What does that mean, pray for you? Are you sick? Do you need money? Are you, well, I mean, what's going on? Because the Bible says, make your requests made known unto God, right? I mean, you may be saying, hey, pray for me, but you're believing for somebody else's wife. Okay, well, I'm not going to pray for that. I mean, I don't even know if it's even biblical, right? I mean, it's just, the point is, I need to know because why? Because I need something to attach my faith to. And I need to stand on the word on something. So I need to know what it is. You know, when I was a kid, we always have special unspoken prayer requests. You know, it was like special unspoken. And now it's like, how would you ever know if you got anything? Because you don't know what you're asking for, so you don't ever even know if you got it, right? It's like, I'm going to have a special unspoken prayer request. It's completely unbiblical. It's not even, doesn't even make any sense. And, but you know, I did it all the time. I didn't know any better. I was just like, well. See, you have no idea what you asked for because you've never requested anything, so nobody has any test. So when you get up for testimonies, it's like, everybody's like, I don't know if I got it or not because I don't even know if I asked for it. I digress. All right, here we go. So again, but it's all this is just basically a byproduct of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Acts chapter, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And I don't know how much longer we'll go here, but we're going to go a little while longer. As long as you're awake, and we're gonna get through this. Amen. We're gonna do this. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Perfect. With this, in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 8, you don't need to go there because I know you're turning where Pastor said, but don't let others spoil your faith and joy with their philosophies.
Yeah.
They're wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead of on what Christ is.
Amen. That's good.
And there's a lot of that that goes on.
Right.
Instead of studying the Bible.
Exactly. So we look here at Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, and it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, everybody say all, with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them. Now, it doesn't say it sat on only those with certain gifts. No, it said each one, okay? So we have 120 people up there, and I guarantee you all of them were not ministry gifts. They weren't all apostles, all prophets, all evangelists, pastors, and teachers, okay? There were just 120 people up there, okay? And the disciples were there too. Verse 4, here's what I want to get. And they were all, everybody say all, filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see the Holy Spirit shows up. And then what happens? As a result of the Holy Spirit showing up, the Holy Spirit didn't speak in tongues, did he? But they spoke in tongues. The Holy Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So the Holy Spirit shows up, he gives them an utterance, and the people on their own speak out. I think the misconception is many people think that, well, I'm going to get, and this is what happened to me when I was a kid. I was about, I don't know, 12. about 12, and I had a pretty supernatural experience, but when the Holy Spirit came down, I thought that the Holy Ghost was going to make me talk, right? Because it was like, well, I'm speaking. I thought my Holy Ghost was going to take my tongue and do everything. No, you speak yourself, and the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. There's an utterance the Holy Spirit gives you. So again, they all were filled with the Holy Ghost at that time, and because when the Holy Ghost shows up, then the byproduct was tongues, speaking in tongues. There was an utterance. In fact, the Holy Spirit didn't even make people in tongues. The Holy Spirit gave them utterance, and the people spoke on their own, inspired by the Holy Spirit. You understand? There's a difference between that. And people think that the Holy Ghost is going to come and possess me. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't possess anybody. He comes and inhabits you. He lives in you. He abides in you. The devil comes and tries to take over and manipulate people, right? Against their will. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. And like Jesus said, he's easily grieved. So you know, people need to watch it when they talk about things negatively about the Holy Spirit, because that's somewhere you don't want to go. Paul, Acts chapter 9. So we know here that everybody received it on the day of Pentecost. We also know when the Holy Spirit shows up, the byproduct, one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to back up here while you're turning there to Acts chapter 9. All of these people were born again, right? We see at the end of the Gospels where it said the Holy Spirit just breathed on them. That means they received, and at that time they were born again. So up to this point, they were born again, but we see that Jesus told them, now wait, you need to have this experience in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You can read yourself. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he told them, wait in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Wait. Now, if it's of the devil, why would Jesus say, tell the disciples to receive this and wait in Jerusalem? Right? It's craziness, okay? It's amazing when you just read your Bible how much you learn, right?
You just read the whole thing.
Right. You just stop listening to religious, listen to religious people and just read the Bible. God will tell you what he's trying to say. It's not that hard. So we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, stay there until you're going to receive the power. Don't go anywhere to Jerusalem, because they're ready to just go tell everybody about everything. You know, they're like, oh, we just got to go spread this news. Now, that you know it's something really important when Jesus is like, pump the brakes, guys. This is really important before you go, because they're just JoJo bunnies. They're just ready to go, go, go. You know, there's right, we got to go. We got to tell this message. And he's like, just calm down. Just wait. You got to have this first. So it's really important when Jesus says, don't go witness yet, but just stay right here. You know, that's something big. And so Acts chapter 9, verse 11. Now, this is after Saul, which later became Apostle Paul, after he got knocked off his horse, he was blinded by the Lord, right? Had his little wake-up call, his road to Damascus experience. And then in verse 11, it says, and the Lord said to him, now this is Ananias, there, and is going to meet Saul, okay? He's going to meet Saul. And as the Lord is telling Ananias an assignment here that he needs to do when he meets Saul. And he's kind of freaked out about meeting Saul, because Saul doesn't have necessarily the best reputation, right? He's going around thumping around on Christians, and that doesn't, you know, I mean, think about it. You know, you got, hey, we need you to help Hitler out. Are you sure about that, Lord? Oh, boy, I don't know about that. And the Lord said to him, arise, talking to Ananias here, and go into the city, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And behold, he prays. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I've heard of many of this man, right? How much evil he's done to the saints of Jerusalem. Are you sure about this? This is a bad dude. And there he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Uh-oh. All the happy people that think that Christianity is just an easy button. They're in trouble with that scripture, aren't they? And Ananias went his way and entered in the house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and what? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, here's an argument for you here. Saul was born again on the road to Damascus. How do we know that? Because he said, Lord, Lord, right? Yeah. He's like, you're large and in charge, and I'm waking up now, okay? You are Lord, okay? So at that point, he's born again, all right? He is calling on Jesus and saying, you're Lord, Lord. Now, that was the first experience. Now, we see the second experience when he laid hands on him, he received the Holy Ghost. Here we go. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received straight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, I want to look at another. Remember about that scripture we read? It was back in Corinthians, like 1 Corinthians 4, 14, 18. Oh, yeah, he said, I pray in tongues more than you all. When do you think he prayed in tongues? Right here. Well, scripture, we don't know that, Pastor, because blah, 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 blah. No, we do know that he spoke in tongues, right? We do know that he had the manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of the evidence of praying in tongues, because he told us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, right? Or did I just make that up? Right? So this is about, I don't know how far we're going to get tonight, but this is one case we don't see exactly at the same moment that it's mentioned scripturally at the time we receive that he prayed in tongues, but we know from Scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, that he does. Right? So he has the manifestation of praying in tongues and the proof that he has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because we put two and two together, right? Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 34. I'm sorry, I'm really excited about this. And because it's just amazing. I'll just say this. My walk with God took off like a rocket after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Like Brother Hagin said, it's like washing your feet with your socks on without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's you know, you can live your life, but when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Word became alive to me. I started having supernatural experiences like I never had before until I had that. And you also look at many of these people in the Bible, they begin to have supernatural experiences too at the point they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Because you look at Peter, and he denied Jesus three times, and then we see him getting baptized in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and then he's out there in the streets getting 3,000 people saved, right? Well, he went from, you know, basically chicken of a chicken, right? He was being a chicken, and then he's getting 3,000 people saved. So, again, it completely turns people around. Acts chapter 10, verse 30. I want to start in 34. Now, again, I want to point something out here to you, because Acts chapter 10, verse 34, this is 10 years after the day of Pentecost, all right? So people will say things like, well, you know, that was just happening on the day of Pentecost. You got to realize in the book of Acts, this isn't just happen like a week or two later or, you know, like a month later. You know, we see Paul's missionary journeys. It was like a three-year stint. You know, the book of Acts is several years in developing, right? This isn't just something that happened, boom. So we got to understand things. And then we're going to read in Acts chapter 19, and that's 20 years after the day of Pentecost. So, you know, you look at things historically, and you look at these things, it just doesn't happen. I mean, it looks like it, but it doesn't, you know? And we also see the Gospels. You got to realize that when we read the Gospels, Jesus was 30 when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he was crucified at 33. That's a three-year stint, right? So when we read things, and we're just like, oh, Jesus walked here, and Jesus walked here, and then he went here, and went here. That's a span of 3 years. So again, when we read these things, we got to have in context of what's going on. So, you know, we always think, well, just the day of Pentecost, it just happened then, it was all done. No, there's a 20-year span between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter then opened his mouth and he said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." So I want to establish right now, the word definitely discusses that Peter is talking here. He says that God is no respecter of persons. So God is not choosing often who he's going to put. Now, he does choose people to do certain tasks, and we're not saying that. What we are saying is, you know what? God has opened spiritual blessings up to everybody. And then we skip down to verse 44. Excuse me. Yeah. This is great. While Peter yet spake these words, so he's preaching. Here we go. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So the Holy Spirit falls on everybody. Verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Basically, what? The Jews, right? They were of Jewish descent. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift. Everybody say gift. Of the Holy Ghost. So at this time, they have the revelation, oh, the Holy Ghost has fallen on the circumcised or those of Jewish descent or the Hebrew descent and the dirty Gentiles, right? Which is me. And I'm sure a lot of people in here, probably most of us, right? We're Gentiles. And that's where, you know, the Holy Ghost is saying, hey, you know, God, you know, and God is correcting, you know, Peter one time and says, don't call that which is unclean, which I've cleansed. What he's saying is, hey, I've offered this to the Gentiles too. So this is a point where they have a revelation. Oh, this is for everybody. And then look, here we go. Verse 46. For they heard them speak with what? With tongues and worship the devil. No. And started cursing. No. What happens? The tongues is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and they magnify and worship God, right? So we see the Holy Spirit comes down. It says they specifically received, poured out the gift. They received the gift, and then what? They heard them speak with tongues. So when the Holy Spirit was manifest, then we see what? Tongues began. People began to release that prayer language in tongues. And what was that? And they magnified God. Every time you see that the Holy Spirit shows up and people pray in tongues, there's good things that happen, right? We don't see anybody possessed. We don't see anything happen. It's just not happening. Should we keep going? Let's go one more example here. I don't know how many times. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And again, this is 20 years after the day of Pentecost. So the first one we just read was 10 years. This is 20 years after the day of Pentecost, right? And there's still people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? There's just no, it just keeps going. And it keeps going on today. And in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now, he didn't say, have you been saved, right? He specifically said what? Have you received the Holy Ghost?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they said unto him, well, we've not heard as much whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, what were you baptized? And they said, under John's baptism. So what was John's baptism? We'll tell you here in a second here. And then Paul, John, verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which came after him, which was who? Jesus, right? That is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that means they got born again, right? They believed on Jesus. That's being born again, right? Calling him Lord. Verse 6, and when Paul laid hands on them, so that's if you haven't picked this up yet, that's a way of transmission for the Holy Ghost, right? Mm-hmm. Is laying on of hands. That's one of the things. And that's also one of the ways to receive healing is laying on of hands, right? Laying on of hands is, if you don't know what else to do, lay hands on people.
Yeah.
Right? Just do it. That's kind of the fail-safe. I mean, it's biblical scripture, right? You just lay hands on people. Whether they need healing or baptism with the Holy Spirit or something, just lay hands on them, right? They're just your Holy Ghost jumper cables. They're just... And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and that was it. No. And they spake with tongues and prophesied, right? So there they go, hand in hand. Hand in hand. They when that came, there was the baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon them. The person, not Casper the Friendly Ghost or any creepy thing. It's the Holy Ghost. God himself in the form of the Holy Ghost came down on people. And when that happened, the laying on of hands, which that was the way that they received it, boom, they spoke in tongues. Yeah, let's go on to Acts chapter 8. We'll close here. We'll read through this. And I'll say this. 4 out of the 5 times that are mentioned about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, the different accounts, they immediately spoke in tongues. It says specifically they immediately spoke in tongues. When the Holy Spirit came, manifest, the byproduct when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit was when they spoke in tongues. The only time it wasn't was the time I talked about was with Saul, who later became Paul. And we know that he did because of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. He says, because I speak in tongues more than you all. That means I motor mouth all the time in tongues because it is so important, right? And we're not even talking about the importance of it today. We're just talking about the validity of it. And you can study this all yourself. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. And it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and were lame were healed. And what? There was great joy in that city. Anytime God shows up, there's good things. I mean, it's just fabulous, right? When God shows up. When God comes to town, good things happen, right? Verse 12. But when they believed, Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women, okay? So they got born again in the name of Jesus, and they were baptized. Great. Okay, so... You know, Philip was doing his job, came in, boom, prayed for people, healing, everybody's just happy, it's great, you know, wonderful things. Okay, great, now we're all done. Nope. now we see the big guns coming in, right? Verse 14, now when the apostles, which are at Jerusalem, so at headquarters there, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So guess what? Samaria was, again, a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. So these were unclean people too, right? They're not real, you know, favorable. But God's moving, and they're going. So we see Peter and John. You guys remember those guys? Uh-huh. Peter, that ring a bell, right? John, possibly ring another bell too. Okay. So these are the guys that walk with Jesus. So what? I don't want to take just a little detour real quick to explain something. Philip was one of the men that served tables in the book of Acts, that served the Grecian and Hebrew women. Okay, there was an uproar in the church because there wasn't, you know, equal distribution. So we got these widows that aren't getting taken care of. And so what the apostles said, they're like, hey, you know what? We're dealing with all the stuff. We're trying to run this church. We're trying to do things. We need to have a group of men that are faithful that can take care of these issues. Okay, you know. Serve meals on wheels to these widows and everything. Can you get it taken care of? So we see that Philip is one of them. We see Stephen is one of them. Two of them that are mentioned, okay? And what do we see? Stephen is the one that has a standing ovation from Jesus, right? They're stoning him. And in fact, Stephen is the one in the book of Acts that I believe had an impact on Saul because there was something supernatural about Stephen when he was stoned that Saul, because it said Saul was standing there holding the coats, the cloaks, of some of the religious leaders. Mm-hmm. There was something, a seed sown in Saul that day at the stoning of Stephen. And we see supernaturally Jesus is giving Stephen a standing ovation, right? Because Stephen's wisdom, it says they couldn't rebuke him. So what happened was we see Stephen, a guy who was waiting on tables that now had a supernatural. Where did he get this intellect? It was from the Holy Ghost. Because what do we say? Jesus told the disciples. This is really good stuff, by the way. I'm telling you right now. So we see that Jesus told his disciples there in the 10th chapter of Luke. He said, when you go out, don't worry about a script or anything. Holy Ghost is going to give you the words. Amen. Just don't worry about these things, right? What do we see? Stephen, inspired by the Holy Ghost, which was filled by the Holy Spirit, right? Because they're all filled. Because it says they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and of good report. So these were with the reverb. His words impacted Saul. So we're seeing somebody here who has gone from just wiping tables down, helping widows, gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes upon him. There's a supernatural wisdom where he rebukes and rebuts the religious council which Saul is observing. Are you with me now? And Saul's name was later changed to Paul, which writes 2/3 of the New Testament. Now we see Philip, which is one of the, again, that was serving the Grecian and Hebrew women, the widows at that time, turning this Samaritan area upside down for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, again, Peter and John were walking with Jesus, right? They were there with him every day. But we're seeing these, so you know, the whole thing about like, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to have this credential, and I've got to, let me just say something. You and the Holy Ghost, you're a powerful force.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we get a couple of guys whopping down tables, and they're starting to shake things up, right? One of them impacts Saul, which later became Paul, which, you know, I believe had an impact, because let me just say something. Again, God doesn't just mention Saul observing all this stuff, and then later we read about him a few chapters later. But it's very key for the transformation of Saul. And so we see Philip over here in Samaria changing the whole environment. We have the big guns, Peter and John, now coming down. So what they're saying is, that's great, but there's something else that needs to be done. Now, most church people would say, oh, that's wonderful. We're all done here. It's just so fabulous. And we're all done, and we'll take the tents down, and we're going home. But the church, the headquarters in Jerusalem, said, now we're sending in Peter and John. You got to have this additional experience. So, verse 14, and it says, now when the apostles were sent at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now these were what we call the apostles of the Lamb. These are the ones that walked physically with Jesus in the day. Verse 15, who when they came, were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, wait a minute. They're already born again. What are they doing here now? Because there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that they don't have yet that they need. For as yet he has fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what they're saying is they're only born again. They don't have the experience of the Holy Spirit yet. Come upon us. Or come upon him. Here we go, verse 17. And they laid their hands on them and received the Holy Ghost. Now, here's a proof too. And when Simon, which is a sorcerer, right? He was trying to control the people. Saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money. There was power and a manifestation that Simon wanted. You can't tell me that, well, they're just, why is he trying to buy this thing if it's not a big deal, if it's not important? Simon saw this manifestation and he tried to buy it. Mm-hmm. And then later we see he gets rebuked for it. But this is so powerful and it's so life-changing and it's so dramatic on these people that Simon's wanting to buy it now.
Yeah.
Last scripture, John 14:16. John 14:16. We'll end with this, and this is just a reminder of what Jesus' original words were about the Holy Ghost. Okay? Some of the words, not all of them. John 14:16 and 17 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another what? Comforter. That he may abide with you forever. Now, we are born again. We see these scriptures here. We are born again in the name of Jesus, aren't we? Right? But what Jesus is sitting here saying is there is a person. See, and again, it's not just the tongues when the Holy Spirit comes, but it's a byproduct, and it's a very powerful tool, and it's a very powerful gift. But guys, this is a person that now wants to abide in us and upon us. And that's where I think many people are mistaken. They're scared of the Holy Spirit. They think it's, you know, scary, or they see tongues or anything. Let me just say something. It's a byproduct of a person who we see here in verse 16 wants to abide with you. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, right? It's another name for the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. See, the world has no comprehension of this stuff. It's spiritually discerned and spiritually received, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth not in with you, right? And shall be in you. There's difference there. Jesus is sitting there saying, "What? Well, when I get born again, I have Jesus." No, there's a portion of the Holy Spirit, yes, that's in us when we're born again. And that's what Jesus said. He's going to be in us, but what does he say there too? He's going to be with you. There's a big difference there. There's two different dimensions that Jesus is talking about here, isn't it? Number one, in you. And then he also says, with you. Now, if somebody's with me, they're not in me. They're out here, right? If Adrian and I are going somewhere, we're going, you know, my family, they're going with me to eat. They're not in me. No. They're around me. They're with me. Mm-hmm. See, there's a big difference there. And Jesus is talking about two different dimensions, two experiences here, in us and with us. Too many people have a portion of the Holy Spirit in us, in them, but they don't have the Holy Spirit with them. And too many people, they're focused on tongues like it's such a bad thing. No, it's a person that is with us. And because he's with us, one of the gifts he gives us, which is many, is speaking in tongues. And that speaking in tongues, we'll talk about more in weeks to come. Next week, we'll kind of dive into some more things. But speaking in tongues, there are benefits with that. And there are reasons why we talk about it. But I want to talk about that it is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit shows up, that is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we know we have the Holy Spirit with us, is because of we speak in tongues. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. Pray for these people, Lord Jesus, that we rest in you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? We're never going to pressure people to, but you know, tonight, nobody looking around. I just want, I know we're going kind of late tonight, but that's okay. If you have never received, if you're born again, you never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to get your hand up tonight because we want to pray for you. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, let's pray for you tonight. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's super easy. Yep. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit is like being born again. You just do it in faith. You ask him. I was too many times in the past, I'm like, you know, oh, you got to tarry, you got to wait, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, they waited one time. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, wait in Jerusalem. When the Holy Spirit came, we don't have to wait anymore because he's already been here, yep. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Well, let's all stand up. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on up. You raise your hand. We want to pray for people. We're going to pray for you right now. In fact, what we'll do, we'll go ahead and dismiss because sometimes we want to pray for people alone and talk to them. We'll go through some scriptures. Man, amen. How many praying the Holy Ghost here tonight, man? It's wonderful. I'll tell you what, you don't want to, like, it's like American Express. You never want to leave home without it. Amen. Hallelujah. Better than American Express. Amen.
Anyone that has questions or wants to come up, you still can.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be right here. We're going to pray, you know, for Megan, but we're going to, you know, if you want to come up and pray, that's fine too. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody. Amen.